pray that this coming week that you will be having an incredible week. So if you've been following the news a little bit, you'll find out that the Incredible movie is coming out at the end of this week. About 14 years ago, I don't know if anybody's even familiar with The Incredibles, because it's been 14 years since they came out with the first movie, and now it's the second one, so I guess, you know, it's been advertised, and some people are looking forward to it, and so it's a big Pixar film, and so we wanted to talk today a little bit about incredible. The incredible things that God has done, though. There's some things in the Bible that we can learn, but I think there's also maybe a tie-in a little bit to not just this movie, but some of the other movies that may be out there that has to do with things being incredible. Sometimes people are incredible, but no one is as incredible as God is incredible. So that's what we want to look at and focus on today. So just with a little bit more information about the incredible theme, we are going to be having that as the theme for our VBS this year, which is in just a few weeks, July 23rd to the 25th. It's a Monday to a Wednesday. It's in the evenings. We're going to have dinner at 6. The VBS starts at 7, ends around 8:45. There's going to be classes, crafts, snacks involved in there too. And so we want people to be thinking about it, praying about it, and then also if you're able to be involved in helping with it. So we've got kind of like the key leaders in place, but they're going to need a lot of helpers that are going to be involved in various aspects. If you've ever been involved in a VBS, you know how much help we need in the setting up and the preparing and then taking the kids from class to class and some of the assistants for the teachers that would do, what would that be called? Illustrative, creative demonstrations during the class times. And people helping out, you know, maybe setting up for the food and preparing the food. So there are all kinds of things you can help out with. So in the next week or two, we'll have lists, and maybe there'll be people that will also be asking you personally if you could be involved. So that's our VBS. Again, we're looking forward to that, and I think that will be a good time, again, for the kids to be looking at how incredible God is. And so that's kind of the focus there. But when we think about God being incredible, oh, actually, I was going to show you one more thing about this slide. So some people kind of asked about the logo. So that's kind of in the top right corner. So it's a little, it's not very much different, just a little bit. We modified it a little bit. So it's supposed to be this. So it's kind of like the hidden secret message. So the first letter is a G. If you kind of, you know, you got to use your imagination a little bit. And then there's an O. And then you could never really guess what the last letter is going to be, but there is possibly there, if you look hard enough, there may even be a D in there. So that kind of gives us what the logo is about, to show that God is the one who's really incredible. That's our kind of be our complete emphasis of what we're trying to show there with our VBS. So in looking forward to that, we are going to be also having a movie night here. So this is Incredibles 1. And so we're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks on a Saturday evening. So everybody's invited to that. How many people here have never seen the Incredibles movie, Incredibles 1? Never. Shame on you. Okay, I don't know where have you been? No, I'm just kidding. So I mean, it was, how many people know it was really big, like, you know, 14 years ago? It was big, right? So here's the question. How many people have seen the Incredibles 1 more than 30 times? I know, 30 times, and probably some more than 50. Yeah, 50, close to 100. And I know the parents have seen it too, because when you've got little kids, what happens is you know, you go to a movie, and even as a parent, you can go to, I mean, if you've ever been to a Pixar movie, you know, so that's kind of the Toy Story and, you know, Incredibles, and there's a few other movies that Pixar did. So it's kind of these animated movies. So you first go to the movie and you kind of go, wow, it's a great story. And, you know, if you've ever been in a movie, sometimes you get kind of caught up in the story and you're kind of really feeling the action, and then something amazing happens, and then you kind of get all emotional. And I mean, sometimes people even shed tears. Watch, it's like, dear honey, it's a movie. It's pretend. They're acting. You can tell they're not even real. They're animation. You know, but yeah, we get drawn into the movie, don't we? And the movie can touch us. And then we want to go see the movie a second time, because then you kind of know how things are going to be happening, what's going on, so you kind of analyze it a little more. And then you can maybe go the third time, and the third time you're trying to figure out, how do they do those special effects? You know, how does that all that work? You know, all that stuff. But as a parent of little kids, it's your duty to get the DVD, that's what we had to get back in the day, Or, you know, today the Blu-ray, or you just now download it right off of Netflix or whoever you use. You know, you can just watch the movie and you watch it over and over and over. Now, does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, anybody who's had kids with a TV kind of know they like seeing things over and over and over. And so as parents, we see it all the time. And then what happens? And then what happens? I mean, it was kind of an amazing story at one point. You know, it was a touching story. It was a moving story. We were very impressed at, you know, maybe it was the acting or, you know, the music or just the way it all came together. But after a while, it becomes so common. It becomes so, you know, becomes so, well, yeah, it's just that. It's just that. It's just that movie again. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about if I said, don't we do that with God a lot? You know, you start reading the Bible. I mean, could you imagine reading the Bible for, like, Genesis chapter 1. It's not even a long chapter. Read that for the first time, like Genesis chapter 1, verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on to say that God just spoke things into existence. And you'd be going, no way. No, right? How? That's impossible. That's crazy. That like blows my mind. I mean, you can't even imagine that happening. Well, I wish I was there. You know, but we're like, yeah, just one. Yeah, we do the whole thing. It's like, yeah, well, God created it. Yeah, yeah. We got the facts down, but we kind of lose the awe factor. And there's nothing wrong with having an awe factor because God is awesome, right? God is incredible. And we don't want to lose that. You know, so you keep reading through the Bible and you get to, like, you know, with Moses, you know, and the power that God demonstrated in the plagues and in the miracles and the, you know, again, parting the Red Sea, you know, so we've seen the movie and it's like, well, okay, well, but you know, do we ever think about how incredible that would have been? To be there, to see that, how incredible God is? I mean, we can go through story, lesson, example, history, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. But where are we when we think about, you know, who is God? And what does he mean to us? And just how big, how powerful, how caring is God? You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, even as I was getting ready for the lesson today, you know, this is kind of maybe a side note, but maybe helpful sometimes for even some parents or grandparents. But sometimes even just watching a movie that's done by people that probably maybe don't have very much of a religious affiliation or thinking or mindset or worldview, nothing like that, right? There's kind of, we just want to do a story. We just want to write a movie. So yeah, I watched The Incredibles last night. I kind of thought, it's been a while, but I've seen it a few times, but it's been a while. But without ruining the ending, it's been 14 years. If you've not seen it, I'm going to ruin the ending, you know. But it's quite a story. It's a story about some people that were wanting to make society better. They're actually helping people. They're actually saving people. That's what they're doing in this movie. They're heroes. They're saving people. But you know, it got a little bit messy sometimes in saving people. The first thing that happened is there's somebody that didn't want to be saved. And sometimes in saving people, bad things can even happen in the midst of that. And so in the movie, what it was about is, we don't want you doing that anymore. We want you to be ordinary. We want you to fit in. We want you to be like everybody else. Kind of sounds like the Bible. A lot of Bible stories like that. And so here these people are just kind of fitting in. They're trying to do their best. But there's something inside of them that say, no, we've got to do more. We've got a responsibility here. We can't keep this in. I mean, there's bad things happening in the world. There's sin happening in the world. There's evil happening in the world. Some people are even dying in the world. We've got to do something. And so they decided to step up. And to start doing what they could do, start doing what they were designed to do, start doing what they were called to do. They went back to being superheroes. Because if no one is going to stand up for what is right, if none of us are going to stand up for what we know is right, what we know is the truth, what we know is reality in this world. Now we're talking at a spiritual level here. When we know the truth, if we don't stand up for the truth, evil will prevail. Does anybody need to go back and watch the movie again? I know you guys have seen it 50 times. You should have already gotten all that together, you know? But that's what it's about. That's the movie. So that's a great teaching time for our children. To say there's even some spiritual... And on top of all that, my problem is this. Not only is there spiritual application from a movie like that, but where in the world do these, again, worldly, unbelieving writers get the idea of such closely knit principles of who God has been all along? And I'm not saying it's because they've read the Bible. I'm saying even instinctively in people, God has made us a certain way, with a certain mindset, to say, we are in trouble. We have messed up. We've got a problem. And you know what we need more than anything else? We need a Savior. Someone who's going to come along and do something for ourselves we could never do, to take us out of a situation we could never get out of, to put us back in a place where we can live the way God had planned it from the very beginning. And so that's the story of the Bible. And so this is not far from what 1 Corinthians says, the Bible reading just a few minutes ago. So it's an interesting verse. I'm just going to kind of look at this one verse and kind of see what Paul is talking about here. He's trying to encourage the Christians. They've been very, very worldly in their thinking. And he's trying to take them up, to bring them up from a very low place, a very self-centered, a very prideful, a very worldly and immoral, very dark place, to trying to raise them up to something better, something higher, something different. And so he ends up saying this, and he begins his statement by saying, it is written. Now we're going to find out where it's written, because that's kind of helpful. It is written. No eye has seen. No ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. So God has this plan for us, and it's beyond anything. Even if we wanted to, I want to be able to see it. I want to be able to listen. I want to be able to hear it. If God would just tell me, God'd be like, I could tell you, but you wouldn't understand. You wouldn't believe it. It's beyond anything that you can figure out on your own. We can't even imagine what God has prepared for us. Something much, much different than what we have now. But there's something even more to this, maybe, that God wants us to see, wants us to understand about His plan for our life, the direction He wants us to go, and how He wants to guide us in a way that could even be better than the way we're in right now. And I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about even in this life. What has God planned? What does He have prepared for us? So, beyond our imagination. So this scripture was taken from the Old Testament in Isaiah. Now Isaiah was a prophet of the people of God just before they went into Babylonian captivity. I mean, so the people were very involved in the things of the world. If we could put it in modern day terminology, they went to church every Sunday, but during the week they lived in amongst the pagans, and sometimes just as bad, if not worse, than the pagans. Kind of sounds like the Corinthian church. They're kind of the same way. Those are people that called themselves Christians that were still struggling very much with living in the world and being a part of the world and loving the world and becoming a worshiper of the world. But here is something that is even bigger when he talks to these people going into captivity, about to go into captivity. So Isaiah, it's kind of a long book to read through. But the beginning part is, the Babylonians are coming. Judgment is coming. It's going to be a difficult time for you for a while. But then he spends a few chapters later on in Isaiah, about the middle, to talk about, it's not going to be like that forever. One day you are going to be released. One day you are going to be free. One day God is going to redeem you. And that's the hope. But then you get to the very end, the last few chapters of Isaiah. He's saying, even beyond that, God is preparing something much different. It's not even going to be in this world. It's literally going to be out of this world. God's preparing a place. And even at the end of Isaiah, he talks in a very similar language that he talks about at the end of Revelation, right? Where he says, there's going to be a place where there's going to be no more sorrow. Going to be no more crying. There's going to be no more pain or suffering or death. It's going to be a wonderful place. And that's not anywhere here on this world. It's going to be in a place called heaven. So this is what he says then in Isaiah chapter 64. And this is what Paul is quoting. He said, it's written. This is where it's written. For when, these are the people speaking about God. Isaiah is just reminding the people of just how mighty and powerful and wonderful God is. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect. So again, he's thinking back, remembering back, and all the things that God had done through the people and for the people of God. We weren't expecting them. We didn't know we knew we didn't deserve them. We weren't even really praying for them. We had no idea what the future held, but we weren't expecting them. But God did these awesome things. God came down and the mountains trembled before God. Since ancient times, no one has heard. No ear has perceived. No eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. This is just a little bit different, the wording, than it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What he says here, got to remember the situation. Saying God's got something amazing planned for you. You've got a great future. God is going to see you through to the end. But what's he saying? Who's it for? It's for the people that hope in God. The people that trust in God. The people that will wait on God. Wait for God. Because when they go into Babylonian captivity, you know what it's going to seem like? God is dead. God has abandoned us. God doesn't love us anymore. This is the end of everything. But he's saying you've got to hold on to the hope. Got to hold on to the future. What that means is hold on to the promise that God has made. There's something better coming. Will you trust me? Will you hope in that future? Something is better. And that's sometimes where we get lost. I don't know about you. Sometimes I get lost in that, in this world that the world brings us down. Events bring us down. Tragedy brings us down. Sorrow brings us down. Relationships can bring us down. Even the church can bring us down. Maybe our job can bring us down, and our neighborhood can bring us, our health can bring us down. A lot of things that can bring us down. And then we end up losing hope. We end up losing saying, the idea that there's something better. It's not, I understand, it's hard in this life. You know, sometimes people, I think, look at preachers and think, oh, you have no idea what we're going through. You know, we have a hard time sometimes in life. Kind of like I'm living in a different world. Like, you know, I leave here and I go into some big bubble somewhere. And, you know, it's kind of a heavenly place. And once in a while, God lets me out and I come down and talk to you people that are low life. Right? It's kind of like, no, my life is as low as yours sometimes. Right? So we kind of know what this, you know, we're in this together. Right? But this is the problem when we're in the midst of something like captivity or Babylon or oppression or discouragement. Sometimes it's hard. He's saying, you've got to wait for the Lord. He's got something better planned. And that better sometimes can be in this life. For the Israelites, after 70 years, they were freed from Babylonian captivity. That they were free to go back to Jerusalem. That there they could worship God. There they did rebuild the temple and rebuild the city and move back in. And that was the city about 400 years later where Jesus walked. City of Jerusalem. So they had something physical that happened to them. But again, you can keep reading through even the New Testament and find out the city of Jerusalem was not paradise. It was not utopia. It was not the place of perfection, and it certainly was not the place of God's will until Jesus stepped into history. But there's something even better than the things of this world. And this is what Isaiah is pointing to, something even bigger and better. But this is the hope that we have when he talks about this idea. Now, we can't really see it. We can't really understand it if someone explains it to us in our minds. And so he's saying in a very human sense, this is so difficult. But this is the next part of the verse. If we're careful, we miss it. But God has, he's revealed some things to us. Okay, so this is the next part of the verse. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now, see again, we don't have the whole story, do we? We don't have all the details. I know sometimes people say, well, what's heaven going to be like? And I say, well, we can look at some of the figures or the images that we find in the book of Revelation, perhaps, and maybe some even in the Old Testament, what heaven might be like. It's like, but I don't really know exactly what it's going to be. I mean, I can tell you exactly what it's going to be like when we get there, right? But until then, we don't really know all the details. And by the way, we don't know all the details of our life either. You know, and when you think about that, God has not revealed everything to us. But you know, sometimes that's a blessing, isn't it? Because if God said to you, you know, I know you're a little down today, but I just hate to tell you, like in 2 months, you're going to get cancer. And you say, well, thank you for sharing that. That just makes me feel a whole lot better. Right? So sometimes it's good that we don't know everything that's going to happen to us, because what would happen? Either we'd worry about what's going to happen in the future, or we'd be so anxious about that good thing that's going to happen in the future, we'd kind of quit living for today. That wouldn't be good either. So we don't know what's going to happen. But God has revealed some things to us. He's given us enough so that we can see, we can understand. Again, not all the details, but we can see the promise. We can see the hope. We can see the future that God has for those who love him. And he's revealed it to us through his Spirit. And so again, here's the challenging part. Yes, God has allowed the Holy Spirit to work in the revelation of the Scripture. So we have the Bible. God's Spirit has helped us as he has revealed to us what it is like to live as a Christian, to be a child of God, to be loved and to be cared for and to be nurtured and to be directed by God. Gives us his Scriptures that we can read, examine, learn, follow, trust. We can love God, draw closer to God, believe in him. But it's not just kind of the thing about knowing. There's a difference, maybe subtly, between knowing and believing. Right? I mean, I think there's a lot of people that may know there's a God, but they don't really believe him. They don't believe in him. They don't really trust him. So it's like saying, well, I know there's a heaven somewhere, but in our hearts, sometimes it's like we live like there's not really a heaven. We live like we're just stuck here forever. But no, we know there's a heaven mentally, but do we know there's a heaven in our heart? We know that God will see us through in our minds, like, you know, that's the right answer to check off, you know, if you're doing a little test. But what do you believe about God? But do we know it in our hearts? Do we really believe it to the point where we say, I'm going to trust him through this difficult time? And I'm going to believe in him even when I can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'm going to entrust my life to his care because I know that he cares for me. So it's going to be this blessing God's going to give us through his word, not just mentally or intellectually, but emotionally and in our heart, that we would follow him. Because God has revealed, again, not everything, but he's revealed some things to us so that we would be able to live in the power of God's presence in our life. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul has been spending a little bit of time in this letter to the church in Ephesus, describing how wonderful and amazing God is. He's planned our salvation even from the very beginning. He's loved us. He's worked out the details of salvation. He continues to work in our lives. And he has blessed us beyond anything we could ever imagine. Certainly well beyond anything we deserve. There's nothing we've done that we've earned it or worked for it. It's just a gift that God's given us. But then he says this in verse 20. Now to God, this speaking of God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. What does this say? It says God is able to do this. Will he do it? Well, I'm not sure. It doesn't really say that in this verse, whether God will do that or not. Because whether God will do that or will not do that is dependent on me and you. Will we let him? God wants to, apparently. You know, he's saying God is able. He's willing. He's available. He's ready. So would we let him into our lives to do things that, well, I didn't think I could do that? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about things of this world. I'm not saying, well, apparently this is saying that God says you could go out and make $1 million. Or that you can hit a hole in one on the golf course. Or that, you know, you could do a lot of things in this world. Well, that's not what he's talking about, is it? He's talking from a spiritual standpoint. That God has the resources, he has the power, he has the strength. We've seen that. Again, he's just reminding us all the things that God has done. Old Testament, we've read through the life of Christ up to this point, if we're reading through the Bible, and now it's saying God is able to work in our life so that we can have victory, so that we can have the strength, so we can have hope, so we can have love, so we can remember the future that God is preparing. We can say, I know it's there, but we just got to, again, not just know it in our mind, the future. We've got to know it in our heart to say, I really believe that. And I'm going to live by that. And that's the heart. I don't know if it's hard for you. It's hard for me to have. Can I just tell you something? It's pretty easy for me to do it on Sunday morning, somewhere between, it takes me about 15 minutes to get warmed up. So that's about 11:15, right? To about 12 o'clock, right? And then we're off again. But no, to believe it in your heart. So you can carry that wherever you go. The power of God to work in my life. Exceeding, great, immeasurable, more than anything we can ask. So think about, what do you want to ask God for? Think about that spiritually in your life. What do you want to ask God for? Well, you can ask him. And he can do it. Again, he's not going to take away free will, but he can work. So I say, God, I want you to work more in my life. I want you to help me that I can understand your word more. So how's that going to happen? Well, I'm going to have to read the Bible more. You know, I pray that I can be more loving and more kind to people. He can help me do that. He's got the strength. He's got the power. I'm going to let him do that. I pray I can have more power to forgive people that have hurt me. I pray that I can be stronger when I have opportunities to speak. I pray I have more humility that I can find greater ways to serve. Whatever it is that you know that this is what God would have you to do. He can do that. And He will do that if we're willing to let Him. So we can start by asking, even anything beyond anything we can ask. He can, and He will do that if we ask Him. We ask Him to do that. Because He's able even to do anything beyond what we can imagine. I don't know. Has anything happened in your life where you say, I wasn't thinking about that, I wasn't planning for, I wasn't praying for that, it was just like, just out of the blue, something amazing happened in my life. God just kind of intervened that somehow, I don't know, I got the job I got. I wasn't expecting it, it's just a fantastic job. You know, I got a relationship I wanted. Right? Maybe it's the person you marry. That just happened. It didn't happen magically. It happened by the power of God. Think about how you became a Christian. How did that happen? For most of us, it wasn't because we were looking for it. Maybe somebody else helped us. They encouraged us. They pointed us. Maybe it was our family. Maybe it was a friend. But the way God works, just something out of the blue, and then you become a Christian, and now here you are years later. How did that happen? Wasn't thinking about it, praying for it. It's just more than anything I could have ever imagined. Now I have the promises and the love and the grace of God in my life. What's better than that? This morning, if we can encourage you in your faith, in your trust, and saying, I need to stop looking and focusing and dwelling and living in all the things of this world. I need to look beyond this and look up to God. The things that He has prepared for those who love Him, according to 1 Corinthians 2, prepared for those who have hope in Him, is what Isaiah 64. Well, maybe you need a better hope and a better love. So we always offer an invitation if you want to today surrender your life to Christ and say, this is what I want. I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. I want to be a part of His family. And if today you want to be baptized into Christ, surrender everything to Christ and to be immersed in water so your sins will be forgiven. You'd be raised to live a brand new life, born again because of God's grace. Let's stand. We'll sing this song and let us know if we can help you today.